I refer to the campaign around Darfur because I became curious several years ago, having done research on Africa and writing on Africa. I became used to the fact that African tragedies usually happen, as it were, in the dead of the night, not noticed, not reported upon. I became used to the fact that Africa is a place where young reporters are sent, usually on their first assignment. It's like a laboratory. It's the place where you make your mistakes. And if you're good enough, you get transferred to some other place, out of Africa. I was struck by Darfur, that Darfur was, unlike Congo, unlike Angola, all these places which were not reported on, really, Darfur became a global event. Darfur was reported on by the world media. Darfur became a big issue. And I realized that the answer lay in the fact that Darfur, unlike any other African issue, had become a domestic issue in the United States. That Darfur was the preoccupation of the most successful social movement in the US since the anti-war movement against the war in Vietnam. But unlike the movement against the war in Vietnam, Darfur, or the Save Darfur movement in the US, is not a peace movement. It is actually a movement which seeks an intervention, a military intervention. If you've been to the rallies, you know some of the slogans. Boots on the ground, out of Iraq, into Darfur. These are some of the slogans. And I became interested in the message of this movement. Particularly so when I, in one of my visits to Sudan and Darfur, I asked the UN humanitarian office what kind of funding they received from Save Darfur movement. And the person I was talking to looked at me, sort of a blank stare, and said, "Nothing." I said, "What do you mean nothing? Nothing." This movement had raised $15 million year before last. Nothing went to Darfur. I came back, I asked one of the people in the Save Darfur movement, and he said, "We are an advocacy group. We're not an aid group." As I began to do more research, I realized that Save Darfur movement hires and pays a full-time advertisement agency, 24 hours, 7 days a week. That in fact, when the last director of Save Darfur was fired, and before the new director was hired, in the interim head of Save Darfur movement was the head of this agency, the advertising agency. So Save Darfur has a message to put across. I will focus on the problems with that message. The message makes, I think, four big assumptions, four erroneous assumptions. The first concerns: how many people have died in Darfur? The US government has an audit agency called Government Accountability Office. The Government Accountability Office in 2006 decided to audit estimates by six different groups on how many people had died in Darfur. It gathered the lowest and the highest estimates. The highest estimates came from the Atrocities Mission, which was financed by the US State Department, and which was run by individuals very active in the Save Darfur movement. And this estimate was roughly 400,000 dead in 2003-2004. The highest was from this group. The lowest estimate was from the World Health Organization, WHO, which was of 50 to 70,000 deaths. The GAO then got together with the US Academy of Sciences and appointed 12 experts and asked the experts to look at not only the findings but the methodology by which the findings were arrived at. The details are all there in the book, so I'm just giving a brief summation here. These experts all said that the high estimates were not to be trusted, that they were based on faulty methodology, that they extrapolated from small-scale events, and that the most trustworthy findings were that of WHO and the research center in Europe associated with WHO, CRED, C-R-E-D. As I said, these were of 50 to 70,000 dead. The GAO also found that the US State Department, which had funded the Atrocities Commission, which gave the highest estimate, also had its own internal study, which had a low estimate. So the US State Department was funding two studies, an external one of an estimate of roughly around 400,000 and an internal one with an estimate of roughly over 100,000. One was for public consumption, the other was for making their own policies. The GAO raised this question. The findings of the GAO, which you can find on the internet, just go to Government Accountability Office, Darfur, 2006, you'll find the report. The findings of the GAO were communicated to the State Department, which said it accepted these findings. Right? And the GAO advised the US government that in future, its mortality statistics should be more reliable. So I begin with this. These findings were not reported in the American press. Why didn't the American press report a findings by a US audit agency on a US government agency? I think it says something about the media and its own role in this crisis. So that was the first problem. How many had died? Second problem. Of those who died, what did they die from? If we accept the WHO figures for 2003-2004, roughly 70,000 died. What did they die from? If you read the Save Darfur material, you would assume they were all killed, but they weren't killed. They died. But they weren't killed, not all of them. WHO and CRED say that 70 to 80% died from the effects of drought and desertification, mainly children who died from dysentery.